Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Aware Show. This is Lisa Garr. Really, really great to be with you today. Because we're talking about one of my favorite topics, which is the body and our right to be in it and how to really own that right to be in our bodies. I've always said that our bodies have this beautiful innate intelligence to be able to heal itself. Our bodies really want that. They want to, our bodies strive towards homeostasis as long as, and here's the caveat, as long as we give it the right environment. If we treat our bodies well, if we detox our bodies from the toxins and stress around us, if we provide it clean, whole, healthy food, if we give it plenty of rest, yes, it will rise to the occasion and continue to heal and regenerate. But what happens when we expect it to heal and regenerate and we don't do those things? Are we wondering what's wrong? Or are we just completely ignoring it altogether? Oh, I'm tired. Push through it. I'm really tired. Push through that. I don't feel so great. Push through it. How many of us are doing that in this wonderful, busy city? Well, for the past 40 years, my guest today, who is a naturopathic physician, Dr. Barry Taylor, he takes it a step further and he says that our capacity to heal is far greater than what we have been taught. Isn't that fantastic? We have far greater capacity to heal by just learning more about it. That is exciting to me. And we are going to hear from Dr. Barry Taylor today about what he's created in terms of he's the founder of the Love Your Body Institute and bringing awareness and real transformation and making it real in our lives. Welcome to the show, Dr. Taylor.
Thanks so much, Lisa. Nice to hear your voice.
Yes, yours too, of course. I love what you're doing here. I love that you're bridging that gap. So can we talk a little bit about what it means to feel tired, feel exhausted, feel toxic, and do nothing about it?
What it means, let's see, like skiing backwards up a hill on ice.
Right. That's a good one.
like it's a lot of effort and struggle. And sometimes people have clear intentions and clear goals where they want to go. Some people don't. But if you're tired, Vince Lombardi, the winningest coach in NFL history, said, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all."
Hmm. That's a good one.
You kind of hit on something. Energy is kind of core, whether it's physical energy, whether it's mental energy, whether you have space emotionally to deal with the things you need to deal with. Fatigue can really undermine and sabotage all of us.
Well, I notice that when I get enough sleep and have proper nutrition and really, and I'm a big proponent of nutritional cleansing as well, I have so much more energy. I think healthy people generally overall are happier people. It just makes sense because you feel good and you feel switched on, activated in the brain and like taking on the world. And you can't do that so much when you're exhausted and toxic. And I've been in both places, so I speak from experience here. Absolutely. But why is that? Why does someone like myself and many other people feel great once they do a great cleanse or a good system, and then they go off the wagon? What's the gap there, Barry?
Oh, boy. We could talk hours on that question alone.
Right.
I mean, there's so much pressure to fit in. I think that's one piece. When people do a cleanse, they're disciplined and they're setting limits and certain boundaries for 3 days or 5 days. I designed a Love Your Body program in 1981 that about 10,000 people have done.
Wow.
And it's quite amazing as people do different variations of the food piece in this program. So say for 21 days, people are doing just vegetables, unlimited vegetables, say with protein drinks. And they become aware, love the name of your show, of how much more energy they have. And they scratch their heads and they say, God, I'm eating so much less.
Yeah.
And I'll respond, I'll say, yeah, most people are overfed and undernourished. I mean, most people are eating way more than they need to because physically their body, the food they're eating is denatured and doesn't have anywhere near the nutrients that it might. And then during a cleanse sometimes, very specifically in my Love Your Body program, people might meditate more, people might journal more, and they might have some space for them to have different kinds of thoughts rather than be caught in their head. So there is this liberation, as you said, when people do cleanses, and then they come off. And then there's the different art and practice of how do you integrate that sense of well-being. And if you want to have some chicken or fish, do that. Or if you want to have some red meat, do that. Or if you want to have a glass of wine once or two or three times a week, do that. You know, how do you get off of a cleanse and feel as good or darn near close to as good as you did, as opposed to you have to do a cleanse for the rest of your life and do that?
Mm-hmm.
You're pointing to the challenge of how do you take that experience and integrate it back into your work life and your love life, and now you're not on a cleanse until
yes.
you do one three months or 6 months or a year later. And that's a different kind of challenge.
Yes.
At least that's what I've learned.
Well, I mean, can we please talk about that? Because, I mean, you've done hundreds of days of cleansing and detoxing while, you know, throughout your programs and so forth. Can you, I mean, just first of all, let's talk about the detoxing and the cleansing first. And from your experience in naturopathic medicine, what do you feel works the best? Either is it individual or is it universal?
A couple of factors. Are we doing it in L.A., Hawaii, Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing it in Boston in the middle of the summer? So first of all, we need to take into account what is the climate. Because you don't, it's very challenging, even though biochemically, if somebody had serious arthritis or allergies or some really chronic degenerative problem where they were really, really acid, you might be able to make a case to just do juices or just do vegetables. But if they're in a very cold climate and it's 20 degrees out and they're in Minnesota, I wouldn't necessarily, no matter who they are, just put them just on juices. So first factor I take into consideration is the environment. Second is that individual, are they coming from lots of alcohol, lots of marijuana, lots of missing meals, lots of sugar? What's going on with their blood sugar stability? Because as much as I might be able to justify in my mind, or I give them a copy of my book, which has a chapter on detoxing and cleansing, they read it, they kind of grok the idea of resting their body so the organs of elimination can upregulate. But the fact is, as you said, going to the first point, maybe they're exhausted. And I might be able to enroll them that at the end of the cleanse, they're going to feel so much better. Their immune system is going to help them get over their Lyme or their fibromyalgia or whatever their body's holding on to. But in fact, they're now so stressed that since I'm not doing this in an inpatient facility, I might be doing this online in a webinar, they might come see me and I might be sitting knee to knee, that I need to be sensitive to what I call hitting a wall through the first 3, 4, 5 days of a cleanse, not knowing whether the cleanse is going to be a short cleanse for 5 days or 10 days, or are we going to do something for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. So it's definitely not universal. It's definitely highly individualized. And although I have done these group cleanses where I'll take 30, 40, 50, 100 people and have them cleanse at the same time and get them into that energy field where they're not cleansing alone, and that's, you know, the difference in meditating by yourself and going to a place where you're meditating with 100 people or reading something inspired and you go to temple or you go to church and there's that collective field. So I've been building since 1981 these fields, if you will, for people to do cleanses where they access their own healing ability, their own capacity to go way beyond what their left brain thinks possible, but they're also in this field of being around other people who are breaking through their limited beliefs. So I do things, say, like a watermelon cleanse if it were hot in the summer. I did 10 days this summer. I love watermelon cleanses. Hmm. But I personally, and thank goodness I'm pretty amazingly healthy, I wouldn't do a watermelon cleanse if it was a winter like we had last year here in Boston, and it's 15 to 20 degrees. Mm-hmm. But I might coach you to do it in L.A. if it's, you know, in February if it were 70 degrees. So getting your body to harmonize with the external environment is part of what I'm doing, as well as giving the liver a rest and sharing with a woman what that means for menopause or PMS or hormone breakdown, or what that means for somebody to get over and eliminate their allergies, or what that means for somebody with any itis, which means inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a piece of, oh, my goodness, you're asking me to go off my coffee for how long? What are you, nuts?
Well, you know, yes, but, I mean, that's a lot of people say that. I don't have time for a cleanse, or there's no way I can not do carpool for that many days. Or, I mean, I don't want to be in the car during cleansing because they think that it's just going to be something that you – I mean, what is your suggestion? Do you think that people need to be at home meditating and resting during cleanses?
The answer would be no. If somebody is, a half a step away from needing to be in the hospital, maybe so. But, you know, it's a very unique kind of client who sees me. The vast number of people, the walking wounded, people have what I call vertical disease. They're not sick enough to be horizontal, but their colitis and their migraines and their hormone imbalance and their aging normally, but unfortunately, as you say, they're pretty tired. I can organize supporting their adrenals and their blood sugar stability, giving them protein mid-morning, mid-afternoon, so that if they have caffeine withdrawal, I'm going to give them an herb or something to kind of help them so that before they start the cleanse, they really need to be off coffee. I don't know of many cleansing programs that include coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways of getting people prepared for a cleanse for a week or two or three or four, and that can be as important of the success of a cleanse than actually what you're doing. And then part of the art of what I'm trained in with the experience of people as well as being trained as a naturopath is, well, how long are we going to do this? Sometimes more is not better. How about we do something for 5 days, experience success, come off, do that in a way that you're going to really have a win, eat healthy and clean, not a cleanse. We'll create what healthy and clean might be for you for 4, 6, 8, 12 weeks, and then maybe we'll do another cleanse. I mean, it really depends on what somebody's looking at. Does this person have cancer? Does this person have arthritis, migraines? Are they trying to lose weight and they're wondering why they lose it and then they gain it back? So there are a lot of things to look at. And at what we were talking about before, I have found in a culture of deeply committed, deeply intentional people, where one of their goals that they might not have come in with, but I invite them to please write down as part of their goals, is to access their own ability to heal, rather than I'm going to heal them or the diet's going to heal them or the food's going to heal them, but to be in this circle where they experience and begin to identify themselves as a healer. And then the question that we are talking about, which is not an easy one to answer, is when the cleanse is coming off and somebody's beginning to now, what do we integrate and how do we integrate, and are we going to have coffee and croissants the first day after the cleanse ends? Mm-hmm. Are we going to pop a bottle of champagne the first night after we say this is over? I mean, then what are we doing the next 1, 2, 3, 6 weeks to kind of gradually get into what we're going to call a healthier, more respectful, more honorable way of taking care of yourself without feeling like you have to be a radical purist and only eat sprouts and tofu and carrot juice?
Right, to make a sustainable lifestyle for yourself that you can fit into, but yet supports. I mean, the idea sometimes of the cleanse is to awaken you or become aware of the fact that you were eating in a very toxic way, and what it feels like when you give your body a break from those toxins. And if you can really move the dial there, you realize it, you know, your stomach shrinks and you don't overeat and you, your body isn't working so hard on eliminating toxins. And you, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. But okay. So by the way, my guest is Dr. Barry Taylor. He is the founder of the Love Your Body Institute. So why did you create an institute and why did you call it Love Your Body?
Well, thanks for asking that. So let's continue where we're going, and I'll get to answer about the Institute.
Okay.
So having done, as you said, a lot of cleanses, I met a man in 1972 when I was getting a degree in comparative religion, and I was doing 4 hours of yoga a day and a lot of meditation, and every Monday he'd say, you know, do you want to do a rest? Do you want to do a cleanse? I said, sure. And the next year, he was like a father figure, somebody I really respected. He said, how about next level? I said, sure. He said, okay, 1 day a week and 3 days a month. And the next year, he said, okay, what? The third year, he said, how about 1 day a week, 3 days a month, and 2 weeks around the equinox and the solstice?
Hmm.
Well, even before I went to medical school, diverted because I thought I was going to go to divinity school, I was personally doing a lot of detoxing, cleansing. My mother was a bit disturbed my senior year of college. I think I didn't eat that year, 319 days.
Oh, my goodness.
That's another issue. But I'm okay, I swear. So what I noticed after I graduated naturopathic school and designed this wellness program whose core was what you and I have already been talking about, is how do you get some of the chemicals and the toxins out of your body, is that there's another level of cleansing and detoxing, which is people's belief systems about deserving love or deserving to live a joyful life. And there's a lot of unconscious presuppositions that people have that their body represents, that we're really energy beings, and this bodysuit we're in is kind of like a metaphor for not only what we do or don't eat, because yes, most of us eat ourselves into the hospital, and most people don't eat anywhere near as nutritional as they might. But over the many, many, many years, I've had clients who ate pretty well. I mean, they didn't start their day with horrible fast food. And they took gobs and gobs and handfuls of vitamins. And it became clear to me that no matter how much therapy maybe they had done and how much healing maybe they had done, that always needs to be validated and appreciated, that to some degree their immune system was related to they didn't feel safe in their body. Maybe they were a trauma survivor. To some degree, whatever they had healed about their nuclear family and relationships to their mother, their father, their ex-husband, their brothers, the different kinds of wounds that we accumulate in life, that to some degree, many, many people, most, not all, manifest some of that those unresolved emotions and those unresolved feelings, unresolved experiences through the body. And so I came up with a name, Love Your Body, as my 21-day cleanse.
Mm.
Then I wrote a book called Love Your Body, Your Path to Transformation, Health and Healing. And as that was very successful and coaching people from around the country, I realized I wanted to make a larger contribution. I wanted to train healthcare practitioners, chiropractors, naturopaths, medical doctors, acupuncturists, people like you who are always incredibly open to contributing to others, people who shop at Whole Foods, people who do different kinds of psycho-spiritual programs, to deepen their relationship to transformation. And I became very enamored, appreciative, and a point of my own growth was that transformation is really different than change. And that there are a lot of people who can change their body, say they lose weight. Let's take somebody who's got a weight issue. And they lose the weight. The scale says they lost 20 pounds. But what's going on inside their head is they really have not shifted their relationship to food. Food is still a weapon for them. And they really haven't shifted their relationship to their body, because their body is still holding a lot of negative energy, maybe the shame of being overweight, but maybe the weight is even related to some other self-esteem things. So in my Love Your Body program, in my institute, I keep using this body as a code word that we're physical, we're mental, we're emotional, we're spiritual beings. We have a spiritual body. And most of us have less familiarity with our spiritual body than we do with our physical body. And some people, sometimes I'll make a case, you could make a case, people are not very that user-friendly with their physical body either. You know, you ask them where their liver is, and they go, not so sure.
Right, you know, right. Well, I just find it interesting that after doing this for so long with cleansing and creating these programs and writing the book, that what you discovered isn't not so much about the juice or the type of cleanse or how long the cleanse should be, but that it has to do with how we feel about ourselves. And when you get to the core of cleansing, that it comes down to that. I mean, that's possibly the most important aspect of cleansing. Because when I do the cleanses, the first days are very, very challenging for me because I feel like I'm so hungry and that my body's fighting and I get lightheaded and so forth. And that really gets me into, you know, the true feelings come up of how I feel about my day or the person I'm speaking to because the filters go away. It's really interesting. But in a good way. I mean, it actually helps you find some of your authenticity.
Exactly. From the mechanics, Lisa, next time you want to do a cleanse, call me, text me, and I'll give you some tips.
Oh, good.
Because what you just said is common. It's not like you just shared something which almost nobody goes through. It's the opposite. What you just shared, most people go through. And the hunger and the headaches, not 100%, but darn close, can be really avoided if you know how to prepare for a cleanse. If you say you're going to do a 10-day cleanse, let's just make up a number, you could do something differently for the first 2 or 3 days than you did day 4, 5, 6, 7, and then day 8, 9, 10 could be different. And so there are ways of you knowing your body so that you're not dealing with caffeine withdrawal or sugar withdrawal. Mm-hmm. Let's make up you don't do any caffeine and sugar. But those first tough days are you weren't eating enough calories. You know, you just weren't eating enough.
Right.
So
what
from
type
a physical
of...
point of view,
I mean, if,
again,
as
I
people...
go back to, if somebody is so depleted, although I know they need a cleanse and we can really get some magic, some miracles going on with a cleanse, I might delay that for 1 or 2 or 3 months and invite them to let me help them build their physical body up. Getting to the second point, was it Jampolsky who said, ILL, you're ill, stands for I lack love? Ultimately, yes, I tell a joke at the end of my Love Your Body programs, which now I do via webinars online.
Which is great. Fantastic.
That while I understand that eating more this way helps the liver and eating more this way really helps your kidneys and the colon, and there are things that through experience and training, I understand that. From a detaching yourself from food and really getting to appreciating, are you primarily a physical being that occasionally has spiritual experiences, or are you primarily a spiritual being that's taken on a body to continue to connect to your lessons on the spiritual level? I mean, which is in the forefront, which is in the background? And I think most of us as human beings are primarily identified as physical beings. Mm-hmm. And one of the things about a New Age movement or a TLC or you know, all the different wonderful thought leaders, why I have conferences that I'm doing that's coming up, is to get some more equality of people knowing a path, not like the path is you got to do it this way, but finding different paths to open up to that place of love that's not necessarily romantic or sexual, although it might be, but love in the sense of connecting to trees and looking into an animal's eyes or looking into a lover's eyes or looking into your own eyes and really appreciating that core of life, that energetic connection where the matrix of what drives this experience that we call life is love. And I think that part of a cleanse is to get people to have that experience so that they can create their physical body. Otherwise, they might be popping pills and popping herbs and popping vitamins and righteously not eating gluten and, you know, looking for the right way. And then nutrition becomes like another religion. And you should really do what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And they might feel 10, 20, 30, 50% better. Certainly there's a reality to many people who go off gluten and feel somewhat better. The challenge is that they think they need to go off gluten for the rest of their life, as opposed to just give it a rest, work with your brain a little bit, have your brain invent a different neuronal pathway so that your body reinterprets gluten, and then 6 months or a year or sometimes soon later, go back to eating gluten.
Interesting. Interesting, because, yes, that is all the craze now, but it's depends on how you feel. Some people are perfectly fine, and they tolerate gluten, you know, perfectly well, and then others, you know, after you get off of it, you realize, wow, you don't miss it. But back to the cleansing idea. So, I mean, the Institute. Let me go back to the Institute. So the Love Your Body Institute consists of live events, online events, all sorts of. Tell us what it consists of.
About a year and a half ago, I was in a course with my dear friend Lynn Twist and a couple of other people. And they said, I need a volunteer. And I popped up out of my chair.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Ellis said, okay, what do you want? And the way he asked the question in front of 80 people, I knew it wasn't a chocolate or vanilla question. It was like, what do you want? And I kind of dropped down deeply into my core, into my heart, and I said, I want to source and create a foundation where I can use that as a vehicle to give back a lot of money and funds to different organizations that are teaching mind-body interactions, that are teaching the effectiveness of how meditation helps the physical body, places like Lynn's Pachamama, places like Raz and Grazi's, the Hoffman Process, and a whole host of other places that I might not even know about. And to create conferences that people can do online, as well as come and be with some amazing teachers who really know how to create experiences. So a lot of conferences people go to get content, and this first conference that's coming up October 30th, 31st, November 1st, that's being held north of San Francisco a little bit, there'll certainly be content. I mean, John Gray has sold, 50 million books.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think next to Shakespeare, nobody's bought more books.
And wow.
John Gray's wow. an amazing visionary, and mm-hmm. and having interviewed him, he's brilliant. And the different speakers that I have that are all speaking on different aspects of health and different aspects of healing. My book is kind of two books in one. The first half is on health rather than everybody's got to do this. It's what are some interesting aspects if you really want to be healthy, different than treat your disease, what are some ideas you want to think about? And as I teach for medical academies and people all over the country who are not healthcare practitioners, most people do not have the distinction of health and healing. So at the conference, through my institute, I am committed to deepening in a way that's really useful for people's lives as parents. So a woman, Shelley Lefkoff, and her husband, Morty,
yes.
They're brilliant.
Yes.
And Shelley is really committed to parents having an eye on and being clearer about how you raise children to have a connection to healing. Now, that's different than, you know, you're Jewish or you're Christian or you meditate or you don't meditate or, you know, you should eat gluten or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a very different distinction for parenting where you really have some more clarity, because Shelley's an expert, on how your child can thrive and can keep being curious, connecting and diving into that energy field that we call healing. So that's different than content about learning content. So my conference is committed to exploring and offering people experiences that when they leave the conference, the long weekend, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, they will say, kind of like my Love Your Body programs, but different, this was an enormously powerful healing experience, and I learned this, this, and this at the level of content. But my thought is, you know, if content was all that people needed for healing,
yes.
then very, very intelligent people would be great healers. And you and I know that we've met some brilliant people and their lives are as messed up as anybody else. You know? There's no relationship between intelligence and healing. Healing is some other mood. And for me, there are some basics of trust and compassion, forgiveness, intention. I mean, there are some pieces that are learnable and that people can learn more when you're with other people who are learning some of those pieces of healing. So I'm very excited, as you can tell.
Yes.
This is my first conference. I'm just
thrilled. Great. First one, right.
Hyla Cass asked me to say hello to you.
Hi, Hyla. She's wonderful.
She's going to present on depression and anxiety and functional medicine. Mm-hmm.
And I love, I mean, she's been a contributor to KPFK for such a long time. She's wonderful. And so, but the title that you chose is really, it has a lot of meaning to it, making transformation real in your life. So we all know what transformation is, and we've had glimpses of it, and we know what it takes to do it. But when you actually make it real in your life means that you're walking your talk, that you're not falling off the wagon, that you're integrating this transformative experience from the cellular level out, which means you have to have a gigantic why. And it does attach to your emotional and spiritual perspectives, as well as what you eat. Sometimes I go to conferences and it's all about the body, or there are other conferences that are all about the mind and thinking and mindfulness. But rarely do I see two that are combined with the body and the mind in synchronicity so that we're not leaving the body out, and we're not leaving the mind out. So when people watch these online and see the streaming aspects of it, do they have the same level of engagement?
Can we talk November 2nd?
You can let me know. Okay.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
I mean... If I could pay everybody and they could create, you know, not being with their children on Halloween, or they don't have children to not be with and they would just come, I think you're
right.
Pointing to there's a certain intimacy of having meals. Each of my presenters have generously said that they're going to be at certain tables and people 10 at a time are going to sit with them and be able to be up close and personal. And the whole way that I'm designing the flow of the weekend will create something more workshop-like as opposed to just being talked at. How to translate that through streaming, because I hope to have several hundreds or more than several hundred people from all over be able to say, great, certainly inexpensive enough. It's $195 to do it live streaming. I don't think anybody's not going to do it because of the money. But exactly what you're pointing to, are people going to get a hit of that intimacy online? And I think that's something I am committed to learn how to do, so it's not just talking heads.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
This is my first conference, my second one a year from now.
You will know more.
I'll know more.
Yes, absolutely. So, all right, so I'm going to go back to the concepts. And also, by the way, Dr. Barry Taylor has offered to take phone calls. If you have questions about health, and hopefully this is okay with you, you can give us a call here, live radio show. So give us a call right now, 818-985-KPFK. If you have questions about your health, Dr. Barry Taylor is a naturopathic medicine physician, and he's been doing this for 40 years. And he graduated from the National College of Naturopathic Medicine and really has a beautiful perspective on healing from the inside out. So, you know, the number 818-985-KPFK. We were on the topic of transformation, however, and how transformation really creates, once you get into the place of being transformed, how does that really, truly, significantly stick in your life? So I want to ask you, are you familiar with the MTHFR gene that a lot of people are talking about these days about the inability to detox certain things in the body?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Do you get into specific things, and do you have a perspective, and this it's been linked to thyroiditis. Do you have a certain perspective about thyroid? Because there's kind of an emotional and physical and dietary component to the thyroid. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I put extraordinarily little focus on the gene that you're talking about.
Okay.
I think the analogy I'd offer you that I write about is in the allopathic culture that you and I, that all of our listeners, everybody's brought up in, allopathic Greek word like the MD, orthodox, traditional, not like Asian acupuncture traditional, but the medicine paradigm we've all grown up in. Part of that, the presupposition, is that as you get older, you get sicker, mm-hmm. and there are some diseases that are incurable. In the paradigm that I'm offering, rather than my beliefs are the right beliefs, I'm asking people to put up on the table that, one, do you have a commitment to die of old age rather than the normal way people are going? The drift of this culture is that people don't die of old age, they die of disease. And that, are you open to consider the possibility that there are no diseases that are incurable, rather than talking about the gene, which in an allopathic model may have some relevance, but I think of larger relevance is for people to look at their underlying unconscious belief systems that we generally think, oh, you've got this, too bad. Hmm. And having worked with a lot of MS, multiple sclerosis, and having worked with people who have had Lyme for years, and chronic candida for years, is that when I start to clear energetic patterns, when I start to clear unresolved emotions, unresolved mental patterns, in the context of get your physical body optimized, get your the functioning of your physical body working better, then I'm not saying I can heal everybody of everything. I'm saying that what's more common is there are no diseases that are incurable. None. There are no diseases that are incurable. There are some people who are incurable.
Wow. Interesting.
But there's no disease that's incurable. So okay. Go to thyroid. So thyroid, you know, is the fifth chakra. It may have to do with unexpressed communication. Wow, that's pretty endemic. That's plague-like in our culture. You know, how many women have been traumatized? How many women have been cheated on? How many women have been lied to? You know, in this patriarchal culture, as we're drifting to more of a sense of equanimity and, I don't know about equality, but much deeper levels of respect for the masculine presence and for the feminine presence. So is there a large component of women, because there are not too many men who have thyroid issues. I'm not saying never, but it's got to be way more than 100 to 1. It's more like 500 to 1.
That's interesting.
Of women who've had thyroid cancer or hypothyroid or thyroid issues, and you know, just talk, just like, you know, so if you saw your ex-husband, would you hug him? You know, I would try not to kill him. You know, so there are a lot of issues, and the thyroid doesn't exist alone. It exists as part of the how's your pituitary, how are your adrenals. So there's a whole world in naturopathic medicine of adrenal overload. That's not a notion within an allopathic paradigm where somebody is so stressed out, they miss so many meals, they're leaning on so much sugar that they're kind of dependent on coffee or they're dependent on just maybe their will. They push themselves through life. So things like thyroid, which is way more common than, say, Cushing's disease or Addison's disease as an adrenal problem, but thyroid is pretty common, but it rarely, if never, exists in a vacuum. I'm looking holistically. Let's separate mental, emotional, spiritual out. Let's just move it way to the side.
Okay.
And just when I say holistic, I even mean physically. How is that person's thyroid working in the context of their liver? Just the liver sends a lot of energy to the thyroid, and the thyroid's part of the endocrine system. Does this have mild, moderate, or severe adrenal burnout?
I find it so interesting that it's mostly a female-related illness as opposed to male-related. I don't think that just has to do with not speaking your truth, though. It might have to do with hormones. I mean, but I don't know. That's fascinating. That statistically is true, though. Mostly women have issues with thyroids.
Well, those who do have, I mean, there are many, many, many women who don't have thyroid issues. But of those people who come to me, and I've certainly not seen dozens, not hundreds, but many hundreds of clients who've had thyroid issues, I can't think of anybody who is a man, whereas off the top of my head, I could probably just go over dozens and dozens of female clients mm-hmm. who had thyroid issues. And you're quite right. The hormonal system for a female is just radically different than what's going on for a male.
And it's directly linked to the thyroid, yes.
And it's directly related yes. to the thyroid, ovaries, mm-hmm. you know, part of a large cycle of hormones. And at a psycho-spiritual level, I don't want to oversimplify it. I just mentioned one variable, which is sometimes things are withheld. The fifth chakra, the throat chakra where the thyroid is, can have something to do with held communications. I don't want to make it like every woman or every person with
right,
thyroid.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. All right, well, we've got a board full of callers here asking questions, so I'm going to go to phones if I can. By the way, my guest is Dr. Barry Taylor. He's a naturopathic physician and also the founder of the Love Your Body Institute, and that's found online at loveyourbodyinstitute.com. Let's go to Carol Ann in Mar Vista. Carol Ann, do you have a question for Dr. Barry Taylor?
Yes, Dr. Taylor, it's a blessing to hear you today, and thank you, Lisa, for your show.
Sure, your phone is I think you might need to turn your radio down. Is it up?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, go for it. What is your question, my friend?
Okay, I'm in the throes of a weekly migraine, and I change my diet, but then I get frustrated and give up. It's like, that's not working. So then I go back to bad food, and I just, help me.
Thanks for your question. I would go to a really good chiropractor and get your cervical spine, you know, the back of your neck, get your spine evaluated and rule in or out whether you have anything structurally related to your migraine, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I would simultaneously work with somebody who could help you evaluate, rule in or rule out, whether there are any foods or chemicals that are triggering your nervous system to have headaches. So go in that direction. Because, I just saw a woman yesterday, maybe a little younger than you, but it was my third visit with her, and she came in with a history of 25 years since she was a teenager of migraines. And I started seeing her 6 weeks ago, and she said that the first week after she saw me 6 weeks ago, she had one migraine, but in the last five weeks she hasn't had any, and she used to get two or three a week.
What did you do different? Or what did she do different?
Well, again, I'm jumping around with her where I'm getting her very – I've got her off caffeine and I've got her on some things, but this caller is saying that she's tried some things food-wise, and it really hasn't helped. So I got this woman – this woman was seeing a chiropractor but seeing them every two or three months. And as I was seeing her, I said, look, the work that we're going to be doing, why don't you see your chiropractor just a little bit more to unblock some energy and get some energy flowing? The other thing is that I gave her some herbs. I thought some of her migraines were very stress-related, and we talked a little bit earlier about adrenal overload. And part, not entirely, because for some women, migraines can also be, third piece, very hormonally related. Their migraines get worse premenstrually. But for this woman, I thought the amount of sugar, the amount of coffee, and just going off and eating better, like this caller is saying, for some people helps 5, 10, 20%. For some people, it might not even help that much because there are certain organs that are depleted that while you're eating better, those organs really need some love and attention and rebuilding. So one of the things I gave this woman were some nutrients to help her not just go off coffee or off sugar and then, as you said, you know, when you started your cleanse, sometimes the first 2, 3, 4, 5 days are horrible. Well, it doesn't even have to be a cleanse. So I gave her some nutrients to help her organs function way better. And, you know, sometimes it takes longer than 6 weeks. Sometimes it takes 3, 4, 5, 6 months. But to the caller, I would say check out anything structurally. Migraines can certainly be caused by allergies, generally not inhalant allergies like dust or mold, pollen, but could well be food allergies or chemical allergies can cause migraines.
So detoxing is good, but would a detox, depending on what you do, could that bring a migraine on?
Well, let's ask our caller. Have you ever done a cleanse?
No, not a complete cleanse, no.
No, okay. All right.
Yeah. So you know, I do my best when I'm working with people, and sometimes I work with people online if you wanted to connect with me, of the symptoms. Say somebody had, say, arthritis in their hands, or for you, you'd get a pain. I'm so sorry. I had terrible headaches when I was a young child. I wish they would be banished from the planet, so I send you a big hug. I know how hard it can be when you're in pain, and migraines can really be blistering.
Yes.
But when I get symptoms with clients, I try to relate to, well, what organ isn't working as optimally as possible?
Mm.
Now, I can't diagnose you on the phone in the next few seconds, but as Lisa just said, sometimes migraines are related to liver overload.
Ah, well, thank you very much for your call, Caroline. I so appreciate it. And Dr. Taylor, is there a specific issue that people come to you with the most issues? I mean, is it headaches, or is it mostly hormones? Is it mostly fatigue? Is it mostly thyroid? If you could pinpoint one over the past 40 years, what would you say it is that people have as the biggest complaint?
I can't do that because I see so many clients.
Yeah.
I mean, I do a lot of work with people who are depressed and anxious.
Okay.
And don't want to go on psychiatric antidepressants.
Okay.
Or they're on it and they'd like to go off it. I see a lot of people who have incredible immune breakdowns. That's either showing up as a chronic infection or allergies or eczema or asthma.
Mm-hmm.
So again, but underneath the eczema, underneath the asthma might be this person's immune system is dysfunctional. And why is it dysfunctional? Is it as simple as they need zinc or they need more vitamin C? Is it as simple as, you know, they're eating too many cheeseburgers, or, you know, or is there some mental, emotional, spiritual piece to it?
Right. My purpose of asking you the question was twofold. One was for people to realize that their illnesses or what they're dealing with is common. You're not the only one. And also for people to realize that there is help. So if you have these situations, like questions about your antidepressants, go get some help. Get some advice. It is okay to be struggling with these specific issues. I think sometimes how many times have you had somebody come to you, Dr. Taylor, who you are the last resort, they've been ignoring and denying symptoms for a long time? And I mean, quite often I do the late night radio show at Coast to Coast, and I'll have people call into the radio show in the middle of the night saying, you know, I can't stand up without fainting. Well, don't call a radio show. Seek a professional. Ask for real help. Why do you think that people don't tend to do that? I mean, cost, of course, is a factor, but is there a denial mechanism there that we all face?
Yeah, brilliant point. Denial is not just a river in Egypt. I think there is a way that being sick has us feel vulnerable. Being sick, some people have an interpretation like something's wrong with me. I think one of the reasons I named Love Your Body was to move people more into a state of awareness, a place of consciousness, where they're learning to be better observers. I think you're quite right that people have a lot of judgment. As somebody who is had a lot of headaches, as I just said, growing up as a kid,
mm-hmm.
I had massive amounts of strep growing up as a kid.
Wow.
I was very, very, very overweight as a kid. All of that's in the beginning of my book. I had this experience as a child of feeling helpless. And when you don't just plow through it, you know, and just head down, more coffee, you know, so I don't exercise, or so I'm tired, and everybody else is tired, and by not owning it or being able to be responsible for it, I think we avoid some of the sense of hopelessness. Now, what I'm offering and what you're offering people is, hey, you know, by being a better observer, and in the beginning that means maybe observing all of your judgments, your judgments, you know, are all just part of what your mind's making up about what your body's doing. You know, what if you were just a better observer with a lot of compassion and you related to your body as a friend, and from that place of how willing you started your show, that your body is always going to homeostasis. Your body's capacity to heal is infinitely greater than you give it credit for, but you and I, all of us, might be blocking it by either what we're eating or not eating, what we're doing or not doing. We don't have enough stress tools.
What we're thinking or not thinking.
We're thinking or not thinking. You know, you're right. I think one of the places that I weave in, and the reason I have a chapter in the second half of my book on trust, is that acceptance is a door of healing. Acceptance doesn't mean you don't like it.
That is a big one.
Just accepting it. You're able to be, like a meditation practice, you're in observation. There's a lot of power. People know this when they're almost monk-like in their being adept to just be with something. And if a judgment comes up, then they're able to be with watching the judgment. Don't judge your judgments, which I did for years. Thank you very much. So you're right. There's a lot of people who just keep plowing through. And
I think about the animal kingdom. If an animal is sick, it will curl up and it will rest. It won't get on its cell phone and start, you know, I mean, there's, or it won't go back to work. But it's, again, the whole point of this show here is talking about our body's innate intelligence to be able to heal itself. If you saw a child on the street and that child really just wanted to be able to live in a natural environment, or live, you know, go back to a house, wouldn't you want to help that child get back to safety or help that child get back to food? You would help. We help others more than we help ourselves. We have sometimes more compassion and more we'll sacrifice ourselves to help other people, which is good, but we sometimes don't turn that level of compassion and care back on our own physical bodies. And if we just give it a chance, it really can perform amazingly for us. And maybe people understand this, maybe they don't, but this is the whole point of today's show. And I think the point of the Love Your Body Institute is exactly that, to learn to love yourself and your body and care for it enough to listen to the signs if you're not feeling well, to give it a chance by letting it detoxify. And you know, if you eat food or breathe air, you've got toxins. and rest and good clean food. So
sometimes people don't know what they don't know. So I love what you just said. Raz Ingrassi, who with his wife Liza is the director of the Hoffman Institute, he's going to be presenting, offering a wonderful experience at the conference on self-compassion. Because the point that you just made is, even in the midst of pain, many of us will kneel down and touch somebody and stroke somebody and be tender with somebody, be present for an animal or a loved one or a stranger, hopefully. But as you just said, to know that you deserve to take the time and not use, I don't have the time, or this is going to cost a little bit money, and look at where you spend your money, this is going to be worth it. You're absolutely right. There are more and more people who are open to loving their body. And some people might say, I need to learn what foods are good for my liver. But somebody else might say, you know, I don't think I'm neurotic and I don't think I need psychotherapy, but there's this whole world of me learning to really deeply be compassionate with myself. Let me check this guy Raz Ingrassi out. Mm-hmm. I heard he might be masterful at teaching me that.
Well, you sound like you have many masters at this conference. And once again, people can find out about it at the website, which is loveyourbodyinstitute.com.
And it's my own.
Pardon me?
Or they can also go drbarrytaylor.com just to email me if they wanted. But yes, loveyourbodyinstitute.com is the conference. drbarrytaylor.com, DR, not doctor, but just drbarrytaylor.com is my personal website.
And
this has been great.
Yeah.
What a love you are.
Well, I love what you're saying, and it's really refreshing. And I, you know, I've just recently been really thinking about, because I've done, I made a commitment to do one cleanse day a week, and it really has helped me. And and I noticed that Mondays are the hardest days for, well, they're the most, where I hear from people the most about, I'm going to get back on my program. I'm going to get back on my diet. I'm going to, you know, restart because I fell off the wagon Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then there is a gap between what we do at the beginning of the week and what we do at the end of the week. So there's got to be a way to make it work. I am definitely not sitting here on the mountaintop having figured it all out. That's why I interview people like you. So I really appreciate it. I wanted to mention the dates, October 30th through November 1st. And it's in Petaluma, California.
It's at Ions, which is a 140-acre, gorgeous, gorgeous retreat site, fabulous organic food, hawks and deers. And when people register in the next few days, I think, next week, that there are a whole bunch of bonuses that they'll see on the website if they want to register.
Cool. Or they can watch it on live stream if you are.
Or they can live stream it, yeah.
Yeah, they can live stream it if you're, you know, here in SoCal, or if you are going trick-or-treating. You can always live stream it.
That's right.
You can get the
downloads. Watch the conference when you want, correct.
But you don't eat the candy from the trick-or-treating because that would defeat the purpose of the live stream. But it's true. I mean, still live, love, have a great time. And from somebody like Dr. Taylor, who's had 40 years of experience with this, and really the crux of what he does is about nutritional cleansing and detoxing and so forth, you're really an expert at something like that, then your advice is really it's about how we treat what we feel about ourselves. When you really get through the type of cleanse, length of cleanse, environment around the cleanse, it goes down to the basics of how you feel about your body. And that's a huge key. So thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you and meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
Over the radio, at least.
Work you're doing. Thanks for having me on your show.
Absolutely. You're welcome back anytime. All right. So you can visit the website, which is loveyourbodyinstitute.com. Or if you're driving and you just remember our website, which is theawareshow.com, then Dr. Barry Taylor and all of his information about the Love Your Body Institute will be up there as well. Thank you so much, Joyce Walker, for putting that up there, and for Tina Salvati for executive producing The Aware Show, and G for engineering here at KPFK. And thank you so much to you listening. It's your energy that makes these shows happen. So thank you so much for your energy exchange. Until next time, I invite you to stay aware.